The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Math Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Drew Johnson. You can find both of us on X at Dalton_Trigg and at CoachDrew33. DJ, this is an emergency pod because the Mavs, just a little over 1 year, well, exactly 3 days over a year since trading Luka Doncic to the Lakers for Anthony Davis, they have now traded Anthony Davis. So he barely made it 1 full year. During that 1 year span, he only played in 29 games. It's not the end of an era. It's the end of an error. But look, hey, we're here. It's probably, I mean, look, given that he's injured right now and is supposed to be out for another 4 or 5 weeks at a minimum, and given that he's about to turn 33 years old and that his contract is pretty horrible if you look how much money he's making, and you consider the fact that he and Rich Paul want a major extension, I'm pretty happy. I would have been happy with anything. Yeah. At this point. So the fact that, you know, we're sitting here talking about, and here's the trade, you know, I haven't mentioned exactly what it is, but if you're listening to this and you're a Mavs fan, you probably already know. But anyway, the Mavs are trading, or have traded, Anthony Davis to the Washington Wizards. It's Anthony Davis, Jaden Hardy, D'Angelo Russell, and Dante Exum to the Washington Wizards for Chris Middleton, A.J. Johnson, Malachi Branham, Marvin Bagley the third, two first round picks and 3 second round picks.
Yep.
And let's see, the Mavs are receiving a 2026 OKC Thunder first round pick, which will probably be, you know, the last pick in the first round or close to it. And a 2030 protected Warriors first round pick. We haven't heard what the protections are on that, but I imagine it's probably like a top five protected pick or something along those lines. So that's something to keep an eye on. And then they're also getting the 3 second rounders, which are 2026 Phoenix Suns. So we get a second rounder in this year's draft. 2027 Chicago pick, second round pick, and then a 2029 Houston Rocket second round pick. So, all things said, DJ, it was a deflating trade. I mean, look, I was thinking about going back and pulling up our footage from the Luka emergency pod, trade pod that we did when we, you know, proclaimed that it was the worst trade in NBA history. Even at the time when we did that, never in my wildest dreams did I expect that AD would only be playing in 29 games, less than 30 games. Like, even with his injury history, and it's been extensive, this is like a new low for him. Like, I would have never thought that it would have been under 30 games in over a year. And that ultimately is what led to this move being made. So I'm personally content with it. I wouldn't say I'm like thrilled But I am thrilled that we don't have to deal with this anymore. I'm glad that we're out of the Anthony Davis business and we're not having to worry about if he's going to get hurt again and tank his value, and then we're going to, you know, be stuck with this massive contract and him wanting an extension and all that other drama. I'm glad we're out of it. So that's my thoughts. What do you think about this trade?
Well, before I give you my exact thoughts, I'm going to ask you a question. Let's say I'm the Dallas Mavericks and you are, you know, random team executive from somewhere. I don't know where. It doesn't matter. We'll even say Washington. Actually, let's not say Washington. Let's just say whoever, because that makes this more relevant. I offer you Anthony Davis. What would you offer me back?
Not much. Not for current Anthony Davis.
Would you offer what the Washington Wizards just gave us?
Probably not, because you're taking on Jaden Hardy too, which he's not making much, but he's making $6 million a year. You know, you're taking on that money. You're taking on D'Angelo Russell, who has a player option for next year. And, I mean, you got Dante Exum, which, that doesn't really matter because he was expiring anyway. But, I mean, I don't know if I would have done it, to be honest with you.
I'll give you my answer. Hell no, I wouldn't have done it. Absolutely not. I don't know what they're smoking over in Washington, but it needs to be banned because this is ridiculous, okay? Guys, I know it's really underwhelming, all right? But here's the reality of the situation. Anthony Davis has been underwhelming since he arrived in Dallas, okay? And that's putting it lightly.
I was about to say, that's an understatement in itself. Yeah,
that's putting it very lightly. The fact that we were able to get any kind of draft compensation whatsoever is a miracle. Nevertheless, we got two first-round picks for it. And I know, you know, it's OKC's, which will probably be late first round. And then you got, you know, the protected first-round pick, which we don't even know what that entails.
Hey, it's a good draft to have multiple first-round picks.
Yes, absolutely.
No matter where. So
it's a miracle that we got that, okay? And then we got all those second-rounders, which I think there's value in second-round picks, depending on the draft, including this draft. I think there's going to be value in the second round. But, you know, whatever. We got three of those, and those can be used in trades down the line. Then you get Chris Middleton, who is productive. He's solid. I'm a huge Chris Middleton fan. You always know what you're pretty much going to get out of Chris Middleton. Then you get Marvin Bagley. And I know the stigma around Marvin Bagley is that he never became what he was supposed to be. Okay, he still can give us about 14 a game. So you add those two together, they already eclipse Anthony Davis's production. And not to mention, they're going to play three times as many games.
Look, 2028 Dalton, pre-draft 2018 Dalton is fist pumping and celebrating and everything because the Mavs got Marvin Bagley. Because
Bagley's fine.
At the time, like before the lottery and everything, we thought we were going to end up having the fifth pick in that draft. And then we ended up getting the third pick. So before we knew that trading up, we had the third best odds. We fell down to fifth. So we had the fifth pick. Mm-hmm. And ended up trading up to get Luka at third. Well, you know, I was thinking like, you know, probably going to end up with Marvin Bagley in that spot because I didn't think, you know, I didn't think Luka would fall to third. But at the time, I thought Bagley was showing, you know, I even at one point I called him KD Light. So I was a little delusional in my projections for Marvin Bagley. But
what's that? He's like a Blake Griffin light is what I'd like to call him. You know, he's really athletic. Or he was really athletic. I mean, you can go back and look at the tape. I mean, he was impressive at Duke. And I don't know what has happened since then in the past, you know, pretty much decade. But I know that he's serviceable. I know that he'll be able to produce. I know he'll be able to give us good minutes. And I don't hate that. I mean, I like Bagley. So, you know, moving on.
And let's be honest, too. I mean, I wouldn't advise Mavs fans to get attached to any of these guys. Well, especially Middleton and Bagley because, you know, they're expiring contracts. So, You know, I mean, but the biggest thing is, you know, this is like an audition for them. Like, now you'll get to see how they mesh with Coop and how the rest of the second half of the season goes. And then you can take it from there in the offseason. And the biggest thing about this trade, you know, forget all the Anthony Davis drama, forget all the draft compensation and all that stuff. The biggest thing is the financial flexibility that this trade has now opened up, because now you have two sizable trade exceptions that you can use this offseason. You have, you have the full MLE that you can use in free agency. So, you know, depending on, now I know this upcoming free agency class isn't very strong, but, you know, if you wanted to use that on somebody, you'll have the means of doing so. And then most importantly, in my opinion, now, since they're, you know, there are no apron restrictions or anything like that, they have opened up the flexibility to where they can convert Ryan Nemhard and Musa Cisse regular contracts now.
Yeah, so, that's huge.
So that's awesome. That's what we've been calling for a while now. Like, it needed to happen, and now, you know, it's probably going to happen. So.
Right. And, you know, I'm not going to say that those two guys, being Middleton and Bagley, aren't going to stick around. I could see them bringing them back maybe in a for a discount, maybe if they really fit into the culture and everything. I'd like to see that because both those guys really do produce. And I do think that they will more than make up for the loss of Anthony Davis as far as from a statistical point of view. I mean, they're at least going to be on the floor. That's a plus right there. So I think Johnson is better than a lot of people realize. Past two or three games, I think he's averaging around 15 a game.
Very athletic.
Yeah, incredibly athletic guy.
He could be in the dunk contest if he wanted to be.
Yeah, yeah. His jump shot needs work, serious work. But he's a very athletic guy, a whole lot of upside. There's a lot of things there that you cannot teach that he was just born with. So he's got a pretty decent ceiling. He's very young. He fits in with what we're trying to, you know, establish here, I think. You know, young guys that have high upside that maybe can grow alongside Cooper Flagg. And then you have, how do you say the other guy's name? Branham. He's solid too. You know, if someone told me that we were getting somebody from St. Vincent, St. Mary High School, I would have been like, LeBron? No, but he's from St. Vincent, St. Mary. And he's another younger guard that I think has probably not gotten the chance to really show what he's capable of. So you mentioned it being an audition for Bagley and Middleton. It's an audition for these young guys to prove they can stick as well. Yeah. But I think that we got a pretty decent haul. We addressed, you know, our guards shortage because, I mean, three out of the four players that we got are guards. I know they list Middleton as a four, but he's a guard. He's a two.
Yeah, he can handle it a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, that helps us a lot. I think Bagley replaces Davis in the depth chart at the four. Really should have been the five, but, you know, he wants to be a four. So we'll say he replaces him at the four. And then the draft compensation's more than I could have ever hoped for. So I think it's a win. And I think everyone else should think it's a win because it is. Because you're not going to find a better deal for a decrepit Anthony Davis who is on the downhill slide and is only sliding faster as we speak. So be happy, Dallas. We fleeced the Wizards again.
Yeah, I think it was a great trade, all things considered, you know, based on what we were hearing. You know, Atlanta had kind of cooled off. Toronto had cooled off. You know, I don't know if that recent hand injury that AD had anything to do with that or if there wasn't any real significant interest on their parts anyway. But, hey, whatever the Wizards think they're trying to do, more power to them. They're putting all their eggs in the Trae Young and Anthony Davis basket going forward. So
those people are high. I'm telling you, they're high. Like they, you know, I saw a tweet the other day. I sent it to you about the Utah Jazz. They had They had 16 wins and they're buying. You know, what the hell are they doing? The same could be said about the Washington Wizards. What is Washington's record? I don't have it in front of me right now.
I have no. I know they're one of the worst teams in the league because
I bet it's comparable. I bet it's comparable. Hold on, I'll pull it up.
Wizards. One thing that I think is they're second worst in the East. They're 13-36.
But we're investing all of that into a guy that we're not even sure is going to play. So what are we doing, man? Like,
Hey, look, I'm not complaining about it because every single time the Mavs and the Wizards have traded with each other, maybe not every single time, but the last three times.
Oh, it's four.
I think it's three times before this. The last three times before this that the Mavs have traded with the Wizards, they have at least made it to the conference finals. You know, they traded for Deshaun Stevenson and Brendan Haywood back in the day, and then they ended up winning the finals in 2011. They traded for Porzingis for Spencer Dinwiddie and Davis Bertans in 2022. Made it to the Western Conference Finals before losing to the Warriors. And then 2024, they traded for Daniel Gafford and ended up going to the finals and losing to the Celtics. So all I'm saying is, DJ, a couple years ago, there was this older guy that went viral on social media because it was like 2 or 3 years ago. A guy was sitting in a restaurant. He was eating. He was wearing a hat that said Dallas Mavericks 2026 Western Conference champions. And everybody was just like, is this a time traveler? And then with how this season started, it's like, okay, well, they didn't know what they were talking about. But now that, you know, the Mavs have traded with the Wizards yet again, you have to wonder, like, what kind of second half of the season is about to happen?
Well, I've got some really bad news. Cooper Flagg is averaging. Cooper Flagg is the best teenager that's ever played in the NBA at this point. If you're looking at it statistically, he's had the best season of any teenager in history, and we still suck. So it's probably. I mean, maybe we're better with Middleton and Bagley, but we're not that much better. We're not making the playoffs. And truthfully, we don't need to make the playoffs. We need to get a draft pick. I know that sounds like blasphemy saying we don't need to make the playoffs, but guys, we need as much as we can have in this draft.
Which brings me to another point that we need to talk about. It's only Wednesday. Mm-hmm. We still got two more days. You know, I think it's like 2 p.m. our time on Friday when the actual trade deadline is. So there's still time for other stuff to happen. So, I mean, I guess the next question is what happens from here? Because you still have the rumors with Daniel Gafford. We've heard that the Hawks are interested in him, which they just traded for Jock Landale. So I think that might take them out of the running because the Mavs wanted a first-round pick for him. The Hawks wanted to trade second round picks, and Mavs were like, no, we're not doing that. So then the Hawks went and got Jock Landale for like cash considerations or something like that. So take the Hawks out of it, but you still have the Indiana Pacers who have reportedly shown interest in Gafford. You know, Benedict Mathurin, that'd be sweet, that'd be pretty interesting.
I don't know how they do it, but that'd be sweet.
You got the Warriors, Golden State Warriors have been interested in Gafford. And, you know, we know the Mavs have been interested in Jonathan Kuminga. So, you know, something like that could work. I think, let's see, I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure Kuminga makes $22 million a year based on that two-year deal he just signed. Well, Gafford's $14 million for this year, and Caleb Martin's $8 or $9 million for this year.
Yes,
that's pretty close.
Yes,
that's,
please, that's... God, bring Caleb Martin, dude. Okay, listen, I know we're not supposed to bash players. I'm not bashing players. I'm just establishing what I saw on television. There was it was during Coop's last 40-point game. He had a chance to go for 50. Caleb Martin and is going down one side of the court. Cooper Flag is on the other side, right? Caleb Martin, instead of dishing it off to Coop for an easy dunk, takes off from pretty much the free throw line extended and air dunks it. And what I mean by air dunks it, I mean face plants with the ball.
It's so funny. He wasn't even pissed. He was at least 3 feet away from the rim. Like, it wasn't even close.
What are you doing, dude? Like, why? Like, okay, you don't want to give up the ball. Fine. Jump stop, get closer to the rim. You're not Michael Jordan. Like,
somebody needs to get the silhouette from that and do like a fake NBA logo.
It's so bad. It's so, get him out of here. That's what I said. Whenever that happened, I was like,
given Caleb Martin has played a lot better in this last, I'd say month compared to everything he's done before then. But, you know, I agree. I think if you can get off his contract, that would, because, I mean, you got rid of D'Lo, you got rid of Jaden Hardy, you got rid of Anthony Davis. If you can shed some more bad contracts, that would be great. Look, Daniel Gafford, at the time, I thought his extension that he got was a pretty good deal. Based on how he's played this year, I'm starting to second guess that a little bit. So, you know, if another team is interested, like the Warriors, I think that makes the most logical sense because they don't really want Jonathan Kuminga. Kuminga wants to leave. Mavs have interest in Jonathan Kuminga. We've seen reports where Kuminga has – signaled that he would be interested in playing for the Mavs. So it all works. It's just a matter of putting together a package that works financially for both teams. Because now the Mavs have more flexibility to do stuff like that. The Warriors, I haven't looked at what their apron situation is like, but I would imagine they have some sort of, you know, restrict. Like they may have to make some room to do a trade of that nature. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't looked at it, but all I know is if they're interested and they want Gafford, you know, there's ways to make it happen. They've also been mentioned in Giannis Antetokounmpo rumors. Yeah.
Yeah. Careful, you better say it right. There's people out there that are accountable.
Yeah. It's and just
Giannis Antetokounmpo or something like that.
Antetokounmpo. Yeah.
I thought there was an S in there somewhere for whatever reason. I've never heard it said that like that.
Yeah, way. It's so funny because for years, like I've been telling you it's Giannis with a Y, not Giannis. And what's funny is I used to tell Matt the same exact thing. So it's like you can tell I just have a thing with co-hosts. Like it's the same, it falls in the same line. So.
Well, there are people out there who get apparently offended about this. So,
look,
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I'm still not convinced that he's going to get traded because we've heard this for years. Like the rumors every single year, like in the offseason and during the trade deadline, something comes up with Giannis and it never happens because then after all the rumors surface, a report comes out where Giannis is like, oh, well, I would rather just stay in Milwaukee and win here. And then Milwaukee goes out and makes some kind of dumb move that they think is productive. It's really not, but it's enough to convince Giannis to stay longer. Until something different happens, I'm just going to assume that's what's going to happen and continue to happen for the foreseeable future. But, you know, apparently there is a chance that Giannis could get traded, but I don't see it. I don't see him going to the Warriors. So, you know, if the Warriors are going to make a big move, I think something for a guy like Daniel Gafford is probably as good as it's going to get for him at this day, especially since Jimmy Butler tore his ACL. Because as much money as he made, you could have dangled him as a trade piece, but now you can't, especially at his age. And I'm not saying he can't come back and be productive, but nobody's going to want to do that now. You know, so we'll see how it goes. That's something we need to look out for. Gafford, Klay Thompson, another guy that could potentially be traded before the deadline. Maybe he wants a reunion with the Warriors. Maybe the Warriors want to reunite with him. There are some contenders out there I think Clay could get you a first round pick with his how good he's been playing.
Yep.
Over the last month, he's been great. You know, he started out the season very slow, which he typically does throughout his career, but he's really come on strong lately. And I think, you know, some contender out there could really benefit from adding him. And I think the Mavs could add to their draft capital, you know, by finding the right trade partner there. And look, by the time the deadline comes on Friday, the Mavs might have a pretty nice little war chest accumulated. So we'll see how it goes. What do you think about Clay and Gafford?
You know, I think both of them each are worth draft compensation, especially Clay. But I think Gafford, that archetype is just so hard to find. You know, a really good defensively minded center with that level of strength and that level of finishing ability, really good lob threat. I think both of those guys, if you plug them into certain contenders, they make fantastic impacts for them. You know, I could see him doing really well, or Gafford. I could see him doing really well with the Indiana Pacers. I would like to see what they would be offering in return. Again, you know, it's what we said about the Anthony Davis trade. We want draft picks. We want youth. And if they're willing to give us something like that, then I would be more than happy. Clay, you know, I'd really like to see us make a deal with Golden State and send him back there just for the vibes. I think it'd be fun. It doesn't matter to us. We're so far out of the running. And really they are too. It doesn't matter. Let's just let's help facilitate a storybook ending for both him and Steph's careers. Not that I think Steph's really anywhere close to retiring, but I would like to see them kind of ride off into the sunset together. And I think that if they were to offer us draft compensation a little bit later on, you know, I would like a 2031, 2032 pick, something like that, when everyone over there is gone. And they're having to rebuild, that is whenever those draft picks would be incredibly valuable. And maybe we can pluck something from over there. So that's my take. I'd like to, you know, play with Golden State with Clay because of the emotional attachments there. Right. I think we could maybe swing something.
Get band back together for one last run.
Exactly. But give me that 2032 draft pick.
That's right. That's right. Hey, I'm with you on that. But look, I wanted to mention this. Andy Bailey, who, you know, I've been following him for years. He does great work. He's currently writing about the NBA for Bleacher Report. But he noted this, and this is something you alluded to earlier. But, you know, he tweeted, he said, "I might be the only person who cares," which isn't true because I know you care. But he said, "But Marvin Bagley has been solid this season, and I'm genuinely curious to watch him play with Cooper Flagg."
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's good, man. The reason that everyone is so like down on Bagley is he never reached what everyone thought was his proverbial potential. And I get that.
That's okay. Partially my fault. I'm sorry.
Well, I honestly, you know, whenever he was coming out of Duke, I really thought he was going to be special, and I'm not sure what happened. Maybe it was a combination of playing for crappy teams and crappy situations, but he's still solid. He's still productive. And I think he can help us. Yeah. So don't be down on Bagley. Bagley could come in and really, really produce. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing him play.
I mean, he can definitely produce more than what AD did in over a year. And look, it may not be fair to Anthony Davis, you know, that things turned out the way it did, because I mean, he didn't ask to get traded for Luka. You know, it's one guy that decided, "Oh, I'm going to trade a generational superstar in his prime for Anthony Davis, who's had all these injury issues and everything." And even if AD hadn't been injured right off the bat, he still wasn't accepted as warmly by the fan base, and that's putting it lightly, just because he was attached to that trade, you know, and how it happened. And even though it wasn't his fault, you know, it was always going to linger. You know, we talked about it on some of the previous pods, even though Nico has been fired for a while now, you know, the parts of that Luka trade have still lingered after the fact. And you can just tell, like, it was affecting the vibes of the team. And so now, you know, whether it was fair to AD or not, he gets traded again, and it's almost like a weight is lifted off your shoulders a little bit. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. I get it. It wasn't fair to him, but I think it'll be best for both sides that, you know, they decided to move on now. And part of the reason it made that decision so easy, obviously you have AD and the injury issues, but Coop has just took off so much here lately that it's like, okay, we need to accelerate this timeline now and, you know, get the ball rolling on the rebuild, because, like, look, just over his last three games, he's averaging 40.3 points, 10.3 rebounds. He's shooting 58% from the field, 46% from three, 85% from the free throw line, 68% true shooting. He is 19 years old, DJ.
Best teenager in history, baby. Sorry, and, LeBron.
And look, this needed to be said too, because our buddy Kirk Henderson, he does a lot of great work for Mavs Moneyball, and then what is that app he's doing now? Is it Offside or something like that? Yeah, Offside is the app he does where he posts these videos and talking whatever. But he posted a video about Cooper Flagg the other day, and so many people in the comments were talking about how, you know, oh, you know, Coop, he ducked the 2026 NBA draft class or this class. And that's why he reclassified. And I was like, okay, let's use logic here. So Cooper Flagg ducked college kids to move up a class and to play the greatest talent in the world a year sooner. How does that make any sense whatsoever?
Can I go off?
He's averaging, I mean, for the season, he's averaging 20 points per game, but especially here lately, he's averaging 40 points and 10 rebounds on absurd shooting splits against the best players in the world. And there are still people out there that think he reclassified to avoid being in the same draft as Darren Peterson and AJ Dibansta and the Boozer kid, Cam Boozer, and, you know, all that. The logic isn't there. It makes absolutely no sense to me.
No, it actually pisses me off. So first, let's start off with this notion real quick, okay? First of all, whenever Cooper reclassed, people were stating that the current draft class right now was soft, all right? And somehow between then and now, it's all of a sudden the best draft class since 2003. And I will agree, it's very deep, but I don't think the top is as high as the draft class was last year or when Wembanyama's draft.
Yeah, you look at this. Look,
I don't think it is, because here's the deal. Darren Peterson plays half a game every game, and that's if you're lucky. He's played half the games that KU has played, okay? When he's in, he's electric. He's fantastic. NBA star written all over him. But the main concern is that he can't keep himself on the floor. They attribute it to cramps. I don't know what's going on, but it's weird, and it kind of raises an alarm to me. And I hope he gets it together, because that means my signed jersey is worth tons of money. But for now, he worries me. And you think that Coop's ducking that kid? No, he's not. Let's move on down the list. AJ Dibansa. Dibansa has been the same player since he stepped on the floor first for BYU. No progression. Y'all can argue with me. I don't care. He can't shoot the basketball. He's incredibly talented at getting to the rim. He's got tremendous upside, maybe the highest ceiling of anybody in this draft. But he is nowhere close to Cooper Flagg. And he's nowhere close to Darren Peterson. We saw that firsthand. Darren Peterson owned him. Okay? And I also watched that kid absolutely. I mean, he scored 20-plus points against Arizona, but he couldn't show up when it mattered most. He couldn't hit a jump shot to save his life, and by God, he was trying. Again, that guy doesn't hold a finger to Cooper Flagg at all. Nowhere close. Yeah. Next guy is Cam Boozer, who I think, you know.
He's actually improved a lot from where you were at on him at the start of the year.
But, and you know, he scores a lot of points. He gets a lot of rebounds. But I don't know how well he's going to translate. And I'll tell you right now, he's not going to translate as well as Cooper Flagg's translated. None of these guys are going to get into the league and have multiple 30 to 40 point games. None of them. Caleb Wilson too. Caleb Wilson kind of reminds me, it's kind of the same situation as Dibanza. I have seen a little bit of growth. The mid-range jumper's looking a little bit better. The ball handling's look a little bit better. He's able to do some really interesting things with his feet. It wouldn't surprise me if Wilson doesn't crack the top three. But again, nothing compared to Cooper Flagg.
And okay? it's funny to me because, like you said, this year's class, you know, everybody's like, oh, you know, this year's draft class isn't near what next year's is going to be. I mean, you look at Vijay Edgecombe for the 76ers. He's been great.
Yeah.
You look at Con Knipple with the Charlotte Hornets. He's having a better shooting percentage season as a rookie than Steph Curry did.
Yeah.
Like he's awesome. He's like the second coming of Klay Thompson, but with more handles.
Handles bigger, more a little, probably a little more athletic, a little bit more post game. No, Knipple's solid, man.
Knipple's solid. Like he's a guy that I hope has enough. You know, he was roommates with Coop at Duke, and it's like he's one of those guys that you're hoping later down the line in a free agency or something that, you know, Coop has a little bit of pull. It's like, hey, come on to Dallas. if things go in Charlotte the way we're used to seeing them go over the course,
I don't know, dude. They're kind of good.
They have gotten better. They have to put it together and string together wins, but they're in a much better situation right now than they have been in a long time.
They're solid, and the reason that they're solid is I think that Knipple kind of brings a boost not only to your team offensively, but also to your culture. I think that the biggest issue that those guys had was literally getting their crap together mentally. You know, you have a bunch of really talented guys over there, but they're all lifestylers. Does that make sense? They have an issue of taking things seriously, I think, or they had that. Now they're playing ball. And, you know, I know LaMelo Ball gets a lot of flack, but when LaMelo Ball is motivated, which he seems to be right now, he's downright scary. So they're good. And if they continue this trajectory, they're going to be even better down the road because they're pretty young and they've got a lot of really nice pieces. It's just getting everybody to mature simultaneously and really buy in. And I think that's what they've struggled with up until Knipple got there. But there's been a shift with that team. And, you know, I'm happy for them. And then they get Coby White in, who's another just flamethrower. Yeah. They're solid, dude.
There's been a lot of big trade activity before we've even gotten to the deadline. You know, James Harden just got traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers for Darius Garland, which seems like some random 2K trade that you see way off into the future when you simulate.
What good does that do anybody? I don't understand.
But you have that going. Like you mentioned, Coby White went to the Charlotte Hornets. You got all these different trades going on right now. Anthony Davis. Look, and I want to end this by just kind of tipping my hat to the Mavs co-GMs. You know, we were wondering if anything was going to happen at this trade deadline since there wasn't a full-time GM in place, because right now it's two interim co-GMs with Michael Finley and Riccardi. Mm-hmm. And so we were wondering if anything was going to happen because of that, or if they were going to wait until the offseason, hire somebody full-time, and then let them deal with trading AD. Hats off to those two guys because they came together. They made something happen. The Mavs are in a better financial flexibility situation than they were a few hours ago before this happened. And I just, you know, I'm excited to see where they go from here, what other moves they make. And even if they don't make any other moves right now, you know, you've set yourself up for a very good summer, especially considering that you're going to have a high draft pick. And as we saw last year, you never know where that will end up in the lottery. So yeah. I'm excited to see where this goes. I think today was a good day for the Mavs. I think it was a good day for Mavs fans. We can completely move on from the Luka stuff. I mean, it's never going to be the same after that happened. I know some people have hard feelings that'll never leave. But I think with AD getting traded, you know, you can kind of fully move on and immerse yourself in the Cooper Flag era now. So,
and it's going to be a hell of an era, guys. It really is. I don't know where this is going to go because we're kind of in unprecedented territory with a guy like this. You're looking at an all-timer. I really do think you're looking at an all-timer. And, you know, despite what Jamal Mashburn and other people who quote-unquote no ball say, there's not going to be another guy like this for 30 years. So yeah. Buckle up and enjoy
it. It's funny because even before he had this accelerated growth offensively, we talked about it before he even played a single game for the Mavs. It was when the Mavs won the lottery and we were talking about Cooper Flagg. But I thought, and at the time, I thought it was a controversial take. It may still be a controversial take. I said that it would be easier for the Mavs to build around Cooper Flagg than it was for them to build around Luka. Now, given they did build a very good team around Luka, but look how long it took to build that roster around Luka and then have him a team that was good enough to go to the NBA Finals. It took a long time, and you had to have each guy doing a certain role. I mean, that's not a knock on him. That's just saying when you have a two-way superstar the way Coop is going to be, and now he's showing you these flashes of having the super high scoring to go along with that defensive play. I mean, now you're, like you said, it's unprecedented territory. You're in uncharted waters. So I'm excited to see where this goes. I think some great times are ahead, and you know, we might be halfway washed, but we're going to be along for the ride, and we're going to be documenting this stuff as it happens. So
no, I mean, he's the best way I know to describe him right now, and this is what I foresee him really turning into, is a more skilled Giannis with a jump shot. That's what I think. I think he's got a lot of those similar physical tools, the freakish athleticism, but at the same time, he's incredibly skilled. His jumper is continuously improving, and it's actually pretty damn good right now.
He's already tweaked it in season, and you can tell.
Dude, the freaking – I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent here, but the fact that we have had several growth spurts with him in terms of skill and output already in just one season, no one grows this fast. Nobody ever has grown this fast in the midst of a season. And this guy has leveled up 8 or 9 times already.
And yet people are still thinking that, you know, he should have stayed in his original college class. So.
Oh, yeah, he's ducking. He's ducking. He's over here dropping 40 a game on freaking pros, but he's ducking Darren Peterson and A.J. Dibanza, who still can't get it together.
There have been a lot of great Coop moments this season so far. The one where I was really like – I mean, again, there's been a lot of them, but there was one where I was just like, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's telling me that he is going to be the guy, like potential best player in the league in a few years type of thing. And it was when earlier in the season, Mavs were playing the Bucks. It was a close game. Mavs were down 1 in the final minute. Coop drove at Giannis and took the contact. There wasn't a foul called, but he still made the shot while taking the contact from Giannis. And when I saw that, I was like, okay, this is
– we have arrived.
This is about to be a problem for the rest of the league. So
no, I think about 8 years, I think the two best players in the league, if both young men can stay healthy, will be Cooper Flagg and Wembanyama. I think those will be the two best players in the league.
I'm happy with what went down. I'm excited to see what happens these next 2 days, you know, see if there's any more trade activity for the Mavs. But I am excited for, you know, what they did today and what it could mean, not just the players they brought in and the picks, but what it could mean for their situation here going into the offseason. Because, you know, if anything is made, any kind of big deals are made, it's probably going to be by a trade because this year's free agency class is not very good. So we'll see how it goes. But I'll leave you with this before we take off here. Bleacher Report Betting tweeted out, in all caps, Anthony Davis is a Washington Wizard, with like the alert emoji. And it says their championship odds moved from 1,000 to 1 to 1,000 to 1.
No, I'm pretty sure I said this earlier, but they're going to be absolutely hilarious to watch play. Even when everyone is healthy, they're going to be hilarious to watch play. Let's think about what they've got on the roster right now. They got Trae Young, who is Mr. Bombum himself. He's going to be like a great value version of Gilbert Arenas. Then you've got Anthony Davis, who may or may not even be on the floor. Who else do they have on that team? They got Alex Sarr, who, you know, is Alex Sarr. They got – let me see.
And then
anyway, they're bad. They're really bad.
Well, I think especially with them out, because Trae Young's hurt too, but, you know, we'll see how that goes. I mean, I think they'll have some fun moments, but it kind of reminds me of, you know, when the Wizards had John Wall and Bradley Beal back in the day, and then, you know, they had Russell Westbrook led team that was kind of good, but, you know, they might be fun, but they're in reality, I don't think they're going to be doing anything. So
no, I mean, I don't see anything here that suggests that they're going to really take much of a step forward. I do like Trey Johnson for them. I think he's
very good young player.
I think Longhorn. Yeah, he's good. And then I think that Cam Whitmore, when he's healthy, is very good. But, you know, outside of that, Keyshawn George has had some really good moments. He can be solid. But I just don't see this team stringing anything together. Yeah. So,
well, again, we'll see how it goes. You know, we're keeping our eyes on Daniel Gafford. We're keeping our eyes on Klay Thompson. Probably need to be keeping our eyes on Najee Marshall, even though it's been reported
that the Mavs.
Well, Mark Stein reported that even though there's a lot of trade interest in Max Christie and Najee Marshall, the Mavs don't want to trade them. So
I wouldn't either.
I didn't feel like it was necessary to bring that up in this particular episode, but definitely Gafford, definitely Klay Thompson, and then who knows, we may be back on here in 48 hours to to talk about another trade that went on. But
well,
guys, that's going to do it for another episode. Appreciate y'all coming in and listening. As always, it's always fun to, you know, have these emergency pods where something big happens like that, and all these thoughts are going around in your head, and you have to find a place to put them all. So this is the best place to do it, in my opinion. So appreciate it. Y'all have a great rest of your day. Have a great rest of your week. And like I said, we might be seeing y'all again in a couple days. So we'll see how it goes.
See ya. Thanks, guys.